Chacon speaks of the disproportionate amount of Black and Latino prisoners in the prison system. He also speaks about the laws concerning crack and powder cocaine.
Supermax prisons and prisons all over the population is generally consist of Blacks and Latinos. I say here, I think it's about 90% are colored origin. I'm saying colored origin to say Blacks and Latinos. And to me, in my eyes, I see them all as one because they're treated as the minority anyway. So the focus is on that. The boxes, the SHUs are 95% Black and Latino. It's very seldom you see brother of white sent in the boxes, unless it's for drug use or anything like that. It's never really violent unless that individual is just a stand-up individual. I'm not saying the number's very small, but the focus is Blacks and Latinos. You know, it's like that in the street, in society, and the prisons are full, way overpopulated. You know, it's like that's the focus of the society to keep the prison population up high with Blacks and Latinos in USA right now. I say it's like 90%. It may be a little higher. I'm just going to say 90% as the minimum. I'm going to give you a prime example. It's a law out right now. I don't really know the number of it, but I can basically quote it. Like, for crack cocaine, you get a way higher sentence for crack cocaine than you would for regular powder cocaine. And if you really look at the difference in that, being that the majority of crack handlers or crack users are Black or Latino. The majority of the people that handles and uses powdered cocaine are white. You know, the sentence is not a little bit lesser, but way lesser. Whereas that a person that has a small amount of crack cocaine, he can get anywhere from 5 years to 10 years, and opposed to a person with powdered cocaine, he can get from 2 years to 5 years. You know, so that in itself shows me that the judicial system is racist in that being. Me personally, you know, I'm not gonna say that I didn't do what I was doing because I was selling drugs. From young, you know, and to me that was like the only way that I could survive as far as having money then. I'm still in prison 9 years now due to that, along with the inside charges I received for promoting prison contraband. I feel like maybe the sentence was lesser, I wouldn't even still be in prison because I would have never had the prison contraband. Everything is like a rippling effect. It's like dominoes. Come to prison for a short term when you really shouldn't even be in prison. The Rockefeller law, that's the biggest law now that's they're trying to oppose that law as we speak. The law is very, very racist. You know, you have a lot of Blacks and Latinos that were drug users that's in prison for having very small amounts of crack cocaine. But at the same time, a white person can have powdered cocaine and he's going to get half of what that crack cocaine will give you. The price of crack is way under the price of cocaine, so you know, that lets me know that minorities was targeted in that drug. They know that it's cheaper, and they know that Blacks and Latins are more likely to have that because it's cheaper.
Chacon speaks about economical differences between people of color and white people and how that affects who goes to prison.
The economical differences are astronomical because the average Black or Latino, where I I live at, you know, they were either well-filled or had small-time jobs that barely paid their rent and put food on the table. So, you know, it was maybe a step above poverty, or maybe it was really poverty. And that right there made a lot of us feel that we had to turn to the streets and do the things that we did to, you know, to survive. It's a constant oppressive state due to the fact that, you know, the money situation. You see, a lot of younger people feel they have to have things that they want. It's not necessarily a need, but things they want. And we constantly try to do whatever we have to do to get those things that we want. And it's out there by society like that. Because there's no help awarded in any type, shape, form, or fashion, because you can't go and get a job paying $40,000 a year. It's way harder than it would for a minority, a black or Latino, than it would be for a white person to get that job. You know, schooling. We're forced to, like, drop out of school at a young age to try, you know, to get money. You know, it's just real hard. You know, so, I don't know, it's even hard to explain sometimes until I really sit down and really, really think about it. It's really hard to explain.
Chacon speaks about the prison industrial complex in the United States.
The United States is like a police state in my eyes. Saying that to say that the prison, you know, the focus is prison. If you really check, if anyone really checks, the prison industry is one of the biggest. I believe maybe arms is the biggest over here. Arms sales is the biggest over here. So, you know, it's either second or third, you know. It's still extremely high, and it's being done by wronging towards other people and oppressing other people. So, you know, I tend to focus on that due to the fact that it affects me and the people around me, opposed to the car dealers and things of that nature. So, you know, I don't want to get anybody mixed up on that issue, you know. So it's in between. I tell you, it's in the top five, actually in the top three, and that's astronomical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really bad. It's really bad. They want to keep the economical system going. They want to keep generating money for themselves. So by doing that, even if they have to step on the smaller or keep blacks and Latins down to keep continuously generating that money, they will. Just like, you know, they make it so there's no good time here. So there's no getting out early. They want you to stay in prison as long as they can keep you here, because that is money to them. It's no change in that fact. I see it, and I know a lot of other people see it, and they just refuse to really look at it. No matter how much covering up they do, it's not even being covered up no more, because they're being blatant with it now. Yeah, we're locking you up, and you're going to stay there, and we're going to make money off of you, and you're going to work. You know, so they're not hiding anymore. I just wish people open their eyes and see it for what it really is.
Chacon speaks on the monopoly of the MCI telephone service in prisons.
Right now, all the prisons over here in USA, MCI handles that. And the call rating here is really high. I'm going to tell you how high it is and how much, like, not how much MCI is into corporate America in its prison complex, due to the fact that they have a lot of stocks in prison. MCI phone company. The buses that transport prisoners, MCI donated them to prison. It has MCI over the cross of the bus. So, you know, everybody's benefiting off of prison as much as they can. The ratings are astronomical. Right now, there's a lot of prisoners that has lawsuits in against MCI and the outstanding bills they give people for them calls. I don't know if they what was the outcome of it as of yet, but you know, MCI has a real big stop in American prisons, and it's really bad. It's really bad.
Here, Chacon suggests an alternative to incarceration for victims of the war on drugs.
You know, a lot of drug-related offenses were for people that was using drugs and maybe selling it to support their habits. So, you know, they say prisons, they give out this false facade that prisons are rehabilitation processes. There's no rehabilitation here. You know, they have drug treatment programs that really, really focuses on drug treatment and rehabilitation. Those right there alone should be another avenue for prisoners that's victimized by the war on drugs. You know, that's the biggest and most effective alternative that I can even think about. They have a kingpin law here. Those are the guys that they feel supposed to stay in prison because they wasn't utilizing drugs. They were just selling them, so, you know, but those that's under that, I feel the biggest alternative, the best alternative is drug rehabilitation centers that focus on that to truly get these people ready for society when they come out and, you know, deter them from the usage or just to deter them from drugs, period.
In the following, Chacon shares with us his thoughts on marijuana use.
Marijuana, I don't see that as being a drug, period, man. I mean, I know a lot of people that really, really meditate off of marijuana. Marijuana is used as a medicine, like my great-grandmother and my grandmother. They've used that as tea, to drink as tea when they were sick. I don't see that as a criminal drug at all. I don't even see it as being a drug because it's natural. Not too many prisoners are here for a long time for drug selling or drug use, but you go to the box here for that, period. Anything dealing with marijuana, you go straight to the box. The usage of it, selling of it, anything, possession of it, anything. You know, when I was in the street, I caught a case for possession of marijuana, and they wasn't even too bothered with it, but I had a lot of it. I received a year for that. I don't know, man. I'm really, like, biased when it comes to marijuana, very much so, because I don't see it killing anyone. I don't see it killing anyone at all, opposed to, like, let's say, alcohol. Alcohol kills a lot of people, whether it be a drunken driving or health reasons. So, my eyes, I don't think that should be illegal. Like I'm saying, alcohol is way deadlier than that.
Chacon suggests what outside communities can do to help prisoners. Unfortunately, the guards came to take him away. He was not able to finish his answer.
The best thing I can say, like, help the brothers keep their sanity, you know, as much as they can, because by them turning away, by people turning away from their families and whatever, whoever they have in prison, I mean, I'm quite sure if you're black or Latin, some way, shape, form, or fashion, this prison industry has affected your family. I don't really believe that no one's untouched by this. The mental support is like the biggest thing for me. Because you have a lot of brothers here that, you know, people have walked away and turned their backs because they're naive to the whole prison system by believing what society or what the media is giving them on it. So, you know, the mental support, if not financial support, but more sort of mental support. You know, write a letter. It's nothing to sit down and write a letter and, you know, let that person know that they're being thought about. Their presence is missed. You know, if he can come see him, that's even better because that gives the administration and lets them know that somebody out there on the outside cares about this individual being in prison. So, you know, sometimes that would make them think twice about really doing something to someone opposed to a person that gets no mail, no visits. You know, they may feel that nobody's going to miss him so maybe the chance he may not see the street again, but you can still see him. He can still see you, or she can still see you. Support these people, man. They're needed. A lot of people is trying to fight their cases in the courts, opposing. Those that don't have anyone here, they have I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's very easy to look people up, prisoners up, on the internet nowadays. You know, if you wish, all right, I have to, yes, they just came and got me. I have to make a run.
You have just been listening to Prisoner Chacon, who is presently incarcerated in Auburn Penitentiary in Auburn, New York. He has been speaking about a recent lockdown in the Auburn Maximum Security Prison, as well as describing some aspects of his 3-year incarceration in the Supermax prison upstate in Malone, New York.